Morning, everyone. We're going to commence our service this morning by singing together the hymn number 35 in your hymn book, the hymn number 35 on the page 189. Glory be to God the Father, glory be to God the Son, glory be to God the Spirit, great Jehovah, three in one, glory, glory, while eternal ages run. We'll stand as we sing hymn number 35 on the page 189, standing to sing and singing it out with all of our hearts. Let us stand as we sing. Just look to the Lord in prayer. Let us just seek the Lord for his help and blessing today. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we gather, Lord, before thee the Sabbath morning, and we come in the Savior's precious and worthy and all-powerful and all-prevailing name. In the name of him who loved us, the one who gave himself for us upon the cross, the one who is indeed King of kings and Lord of lords. And, O God, we thank thee for the sinless, perfect life of Christ. We thank thee, O God, for his atoning death for sinners upon the cross. And, Father, we thank thee that by his death and by his rising again from the dead, that there is life evermore, there's pardon, there's peace, there is hope of life everlasting through faith in Christ, our Savior and our Lord. And, Father, we thank thee that on the cross Christ cried out, "It is finished." We thank thee for that once for all, a sacrifice for sin. We rejoice, O God, today in the precious blood that he shed, that blood that cleanseth us from all sin, that makes us whiter than the snow. And Lord, we rejoice, O God, today that we are accepted in the Beloved, that we can call thee Abba, our Father, because of him who died for us and him who rose again and who is seated at thy right hand in heaven's glory, interceding for us as the people of God. And Father, we thank thee for that victory of the cross. We thank thee that Christ has said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." We thank thee for the triumph that there is in Christ, that there's victory over hell, over the grave, over sin, and it is found by faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. And oh God, as we come to thee today, we praise thee and we thank thee for all of thy temporal mercies and blessings and goodness and kindnesses, Lord, to us, even throughout this week that is gone. We thank thee for ordering our steps and enabling us to gather here in this fashion today in the house of the Lord to praise thee and to worship thee. And oh God, our prayer is that thou wilt draw very near, that thou, Lord, wilt outpour thy Spirit, O God, upon us, and that thou wilt bless us today around thy word and around thy truth. We thank thee for each and every believer, every child of God in this meeting. And Lord, thou dost know the needs and the burdens of thy people in this gathering today. And we pray that thou who art the great I Am would come and meet everyone at the very point of their need. And Lord, those going through times of testing and trial, Lord, strengthen them and help them. And Lord, be their helper and lift them up, O God, we pray. Maybe, Lord, some are needing a word of counsel or guide, and show them and teach them in the way that thou wilt have them to go. We thank thee that thy word says, as for God, his way is perfect. Maybe, Lord, some are walking afar off from thee today, maybe seeking to go their own way, to do their own thing. We pray that thou wilt put thy restraining hand upon them, put a hedge about them, Lord, and lead them and guide them in the paths of righteousness, we ask. And Lord, for any with us today, old or young, and Lord, they're still unsaved, still unconverted, still out of Christ, Lord, speak to them especially today, O God. And Father, we pray today by thy Spirit and by thy power and by thy grace that they would close in with Christ and trust him, whom to know is life eternal. Lord, we thank thee for our Sunday school and Bible class this morning. Bless your word to all our children and to our young people, we pray. We pray that there'll be much fruit in this work this year, and that many children will be saved, and those who are saved will grow in grace and go on with God and guide them in the paths of the Lord. Do remember the ongoing work in the Youth Fellowship and the Bethel Children's Crusade. Bless these meetings also week by week as they are convened. May your blessing and hand be upon them for good, and that thou wilt use them even to reach the younger and the rising generation with the gospel and with the things of God. We do pray for every other outreach from our church, the online ministry, the door-to-door work. Remember the ministry in the open air and other aspects of evangelism from our congregation. We commit it to thee. We pray that thou wilt use them even to the furtherance of the gospel in this community and further afield. We think of those today unable to join with us because of age and sickness and infirmity, O God. We pray that thou wilt bless them, that thou wilt minister to them, and that, Lord, thou wilt touch them. Thou who art the great physician, we pray, draw near, and may they know that word from the Lord. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now we pray for others that mourn and grieve, have suffered loss in recent times. Lord, may they know the comforting hand of our God. And Lord, those who can no longer come to your house because of age and infirmity, bless them and minister to them today by the grace of God divine. Bless our homes and our families and our family circles, we pray. And Father, we pray that thou would unite them all in the Lord. Do remember, the Lord, those people today who mourn and grieve there in Donegal in this time of tragedy. We pray for those families where there is now vacancies, Lord, in the home. Give great comfort, give great grace, great help, we pray. And for those that are injured, be pleased to lay on thy healing hand, O God, we ask of thee. And Father, we pray that even through the witness, Lord, of thy people and that part of thy vineyard, that there'll be a light of thy truth and the comfort of thy grace known in a time of great tragedy and a time of great darkness, we pray. And Father, we pray that even through this, that thou wilt speak to many in our land and our nation, even north and south of the border, to consider the latter and to prepare to meet God. For in the midst of life, we are in death. Oh God, we pray today for our churches, our sister congregations, every minister, every student, every layman. Oh God, may they know help in the ministry of thy word and the ministry of thy truth, we ask. Heavenly Father, we do pray, O God, that thou wilt bless our missionaries today who labor for thee at home and abroad. Bless them, be with them, and use them for the glory of the Lord. We pray, Lord, for our king and our royal family, Have mercy upon them. Give them comfort and grace. And we pray especially that the light of thy truth and the light of the gospel will shine into that household, and that many hearts there would be turned to the Lord, we ask. We pray for those that rule in our land and in our nation, and that they would realize there's a God in heaven with whom they have to do, and that they might seek to rule in righteousness and in accordance with thy word and with thy truth. And that, Lord, those who would seek to promote that which is evil and contrary to thy word, we pray that thou would bring their plans and their schemes to nothing, O God, we pray. Heavenly Father, we do ask thee, O Lord, that thou would just remember us for good today, O God, we pray. And Father, we pray that in everything that is said and done in this pulpit today, that Christ will be honored, Christ will be glorified, that he would be uplifted, we pray, and that hearts and souls would be blessed. We think of how the disciples of old were glad when they saw the Lord. And may we go away from this house today rejoicing, Lord, that we've met with thee, that we've heard the voice of God, and that we have received the blessing of the Lord in our hearts. Be with us now and do us good as we further praise thy name and read thy word and later on preach thy word. Lead and guide and direct by thy Holy Spirit. For we pray and we ask all these things in the name of our Savior who loved us, who gave himself for us upon the cross. Amen. I want to turn again, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 134. 134 on the page 230. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. 134 is the hymn number in the page 230, standing as we sing. Thank you. have your Bible with you this morning, I would ask you to turn to the Old Testament book of Genesis, Genesis chapter number 37, and we're reading from verse 15 of the chapter down to the end, to the verse number 36. You'll find Genesis, the first book of the Old Testament, turning to Genesis chapter 37. I'm reading here in the life of Joseph, and we're starting at verse 15 of the chapter, going down to the end of the verse 36. Let us hear God's precious word as we read it together this morning. "And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed thence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto him, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. We will say some evil beast have devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. They lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Mishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, The child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And he took Joseph's coat, and killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, It is my son's coat. An evil beast have devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted and said, For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Pharaoh, an officer of the Pharaoh's, and captain of the guard. Amen." We'll end our reading there at verse number 36, and our prayer is that God will bless this public reading of His eternal and infallible Word to all our hearts. At this stage of our service today, I want to welcome everyone in the Lord's great name. It's good to see all who have gathered with us here today. We bid you a very warm and special word of welcome in the Savior's name. Trust the Lord will bless you today. If you're a child of God, may you be strengthened, led on with the Lord, your Savior, drawn closer to Him. And if you're here today and you're not saved, our prayer burden is that even today you'll put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. We welcome also those who are joining with us online. Thank you for joining with us today, and we pray the Lord will bless you and minister to your needs also through His Word. The announcements for the week are as follows. Do you remember, please, the evening prayer meeting tonight at 6:30. Encourage as many as possible of God's people to gather for prayer in the prayer room. And then the gospel meeting at 7 p.m. We belong to bring God's Word. Pray for that meeting. plan to join with us and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Also this evening, our brother Mr. Nigel Davidson from Macrofelt will be with us to sing for us in the gospel. But also ask tonight, immediately after the evening service, if the ladies could wait behind just for 5 or 10 minutes just to meet in the prayer room, just to make preparations for the harvest supper next Monday night. So if ladies, if you could remember that this evening, just after the meeting, 5 or 10 minutes there in the prayer room to make that preparation for the supper next Monday night. Tuesday night, 8 p.m., the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. Do pray also the Bethel Children's Crusades meetings, 6:30 at Tresna on Tuesday night, and McGuire's Bridge on Thursday night, here in Bethel on Friday night as well. Friday evening, the Youth Fellowship are traveling across to Kilskerry for the Southwest Youth Night of Prayer. And all young people are encouraged to go, and all those needing a lift, you're to meet here at Bethel Church Car Park at 7:30 p.m. Also on Friday night at 7:30, the church will be open for harvest decorating, and also on Saturday as well. And all ladies are welcome to come and help with this work, so do remember that, please. The Harvest Thanksgiving service is next weekend, 16th of October, Lord's Day. Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. The morning worship service, 12 noon. The guest speaker is the Reverend Leslie Curran from Let the Bible Speak Ministry. And then at 7 p.m., the guest preacher, the Reverend John Woods from our John Knox Church in Belfast, and the guest soloist, our brother Mr. Peter Mander from Portadown. Both services preceded by the half hour of prayer. And then the final harvest meeting will be on the Monday night, the 17th of October at 8 p.m. The guest preacher, the Reverend Daniel Henderson from Money Slane, and guest soloist, Mrs. Amanda Reid, and there'll be harvest supper for all on the Monday night. All the offerings over the harvest weekend go to the work of Bethel Children's Crusade. Be much in prayer for these meetings. We encourage you to take the wee invitation cards there on the table in the porch and give them out and invite and encourage friends and neighbors and relatives in and work colleagues in under the sound of God's word next Lord's Day for those harvest meetings. And one other preliminary announcement as well. Tuesday night, the 18th of October at 8 p.m., we're having a special deputation meeting here in the church for the work of Hudson Taylor Ministries in the land of China. Our brother, Mr. Abraham Jobs, will be with us from Holland, and he'll be speaking. He'll be showing a video presentation, and there'll be an offering for that work. It is a Reformed Evangelical Missionary Organization helping God's people in the land of China. And they've asked, due to security concerns, that that meeting be not broadcast live on our internet. So if you want to hear what's happening in China and God is blessing His people out there, do come along that night to hear of God's work in that land. That's Tuesday the 18th of October. Our 50th anniversary mission will be from the 23rd to the 30th of October, the Lord's Day, 7 p.m., the guest preacher, the Reverend Gordon Ferguson, and then the Monday through to the Friday night, guest preacher, the Reverend Fred Greenfield, and then on the final Lord's Day evening, the Reverend Gordon Dean, the guest preacher. Do be much in prayer for that mission. There again, there are invite cards and invitations for that, and we encourage you to take those, give them out to your family members and friends, and do all you can to invite people in to the mission. We are planning a week of outreach for the mission next week. That's Monday the 17th through to Thursday the 20th, meeting here at the church car park each afternoon at 2 p.m. through to about 3:30 with about 1,000 invites you want to give out around the immediate area. You're welcome also to take those and give them out in your own area where you live. But if you can help and come along any of those afternoons next week, we'll be delighted to see you. There's also a tea router for the mission. And if any ladies can help with this, we could really have two or one ladies each night to help just put your night name down on the night that suits you. That list is out there on the table on the porch. One or two other dates for your diary. Our annual remembrance night service will be on the Lord's Day, the 13th of November at 7 p.m. Be much in prayer for that and make it known. And then also another date for the diary regarding the ladies' fellowship. Are having a Christmas dinner, and that will be on Monday night, the 12th of December at 7 p.m. in the restaurant at the Enniskillen Mart. And again, there's a list for that out there and details regarding that. And that's open to all ladies and their friends. Can I say there'll be no ladies' fellowship meeting during the month of October due to the harvest meeting and also due to the mission. And the next ladies' fellowship meeting will be on Monday night, the 14th of November. There are also missionary prayer letters there for the work of FEA Missionary Endeavor in Africa. There's also the Let the Bible Speak magazines are available. And there's also spare copies as well of the Vision magazine commemorating our Queen. Also draw your attention as well to the Sunday School Shoebox Appeal. There's leaflets for that out on the table in the hall. Those go out to people in need, especially in Eastern Europe. I'll commend that to you. And if we could have all the shoeboxes in by the end of October. So I think that's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're going to turn again just in our hymn book to the hymn number 423. 423. We'll just keep our seats while we sing the early part of this hymn. I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. I must feel His presence near me, and His arm around me throw. And then my soul shall fear no ill. Let Him lead me where He will. I will go without a murmur, and His footsteps follow still. We don't take up an offering during the meeting, but the offering plates are at the rear. Do remember that as you leave. 423, keeping our seats while we sing the early part of this hymn. Again, please, to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to Genesis chapter 37. With God's Word open before us, let us bow, please, in a brief word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence and Thy blessing to us already in this meeting. Lord, as we come now to consider Thy Word, open our hearts and our minds to Receive of meekness the engrafted word of life. May thy word be a blessing to every child of God in this meeting. And may thy word be used, Lord, to point sinners to Christ today in this gathering for salvation. And, O God, we pray that thy word would bring glory and honor unto our Savior, Jesus Christ. To this end, undertake now in the preaching of thy word. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost and with the power of God. And grant us help from on high to deliver thy word as thus and thus saith the Lord. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen and amen. Our text for this morning is verse number 18 of Genesis chapter number 37. It says, "And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him." Now, in our studies thus far in the life of Joseph, we have considered his testimony, his blessings, his work. Well, today I want us to look at his afflictions. You see, the Bible makes it very clear that whenever a person is saved and living for the Lord and serving Christ, there will often be afflictions and trials that will come their way. Paul reminded young Timothy of that very same truth when he said, "Yea, all that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution." Again, Christ taught that same truth to his own disciples when he said, "In the world ye shall have a tribulation." And by the earthly life of our Savior, Jesus Christ himself was a testimony to this very fact. The Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not, despite the fact that he was the perfect Son of God. He was taken by wicked hands. He was crucified on a cruel Roman cross. Indeed, the cry of the Jews against Christ was, "Let him be crucified." And in all of this, we see the attack of Satan upon God and upon the work of God itself. And my Joseph is no exception to this particular rule. Yes, our Bible reading here today tells of him going in accordance with his father's will to find his brothers down in Dotham. And this encounter with his brothers, it leads to great harm. It leads to great affliction for Joseph. And our text today makes reference to this fact. Verse 18 says, "And when they," that's his brothers, "saw him," that's Joseph, "afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him." My, whenever Joseph's brothers were away from home, away from their father's restraint, they were really a law to themselves. Indeed, that is often the case with those who are far away from home, away from the influence maybe of godly parents, a Christian home, a Christian family, away from the influence of their church and their locality where they live. When they go away from home, they think that they can live as they please and they can do as they please and that no one really cares and no one really sees what they are doing. But they are greatly mistaken, because God cares and indeed God sees. For the Bible says the eyes of the Lord run through and fro throughout the whole earth. And these brothers were away from home. They thought that they could do as they please and live as they please and treat their brother Joseph as they please. But they were wrong, because God's eye was upon them and God was watching over them and watching their deeds and their schemes. And today, as we would consider then Joseph's affliction, there are three things in particular I want to set before you. And child of God, may these considerations of Joseph and his affliction be an encouragement to you in your Christian life and in your Christian witness. Notice first of all here with me the cause of Joseph's affliction. Again, verse 18, our text says, "And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him." Here you see that the cause of Joseph's afflictions were his own brothers. They were the people here who conspired against him. Here we see the fulfillment of Christ's own word in the Gospel of Matthew when he says to his people, "And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Believer, I say to you today, do not think it strange whenever family members, or indeed whenever your own flesh and blood oppose you and seek to hinder you in your Christian life, your Christian walk, and your service for God. My Joseph's brothers here, they conspired against Joseph. Why? Because their own hearts were filled with hatred. And their own hearts were filled with envy against Joseph. Four times over, God mentions that in this chapter. Look at verse 4 of the chapter. We looked at this in weeks gone by. In verse number 4, it says at the end of that verse, and they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Look at the end of verse number 5. It says, and they hated him yet the more. Verse 8, the end of the verse says, and they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And then go down to verse number 11. It says, and his brethren envied him. Their hearts were filled with hatred and envy and jealousy at their brother Joseph. And the Bible speaks to us of man in the book of Proverbs and says this, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And by the malicious thoughts of Joseph's brothers, they led to this murderous plot against Joseph to slay him, and their conspiracy against him. And child of God, in the meeting this morning, let this be a warning also to you and I, even as believers, as Christians. For if we allow evil thoughts to dwell in our hearts and malicious thoughts to dwell within our hearts and minds as God's people, then the devil will use those thoughts and those schemes to lead us into some evil deed or into some evil mischief or to say some evil word. And my dearly, as Christians, you and I need to pray as David prayed about his own heart in Psalm 19 when he said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We're to pray that God would guard and guide and protect our hearts from the evil ways and evil thinkings of this world and the evil schemes of ungodly men. Also here we can say this morning that in their conspiracy against Joseph, we see how the brothers, they mock him, they mock their brother Joseph. And in doing so, not only were they mocking Joseph, they were mocking God. Look at verse number 19, verse 20 of the chapter. It says, and they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say some evil beast have devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. They were mocking Joseph here. They were mocking the dreams that Joseph had earlier on in the chapter. And in mocking those dreams, they were mocking God. They were scorning God, because these dreams were sent of God as a revelation of God's will for Joseph and his family on a future occasion. My, in mocking Joseph, they were mocking God and mocking the word of God and the message of God when they said, we will see what will become of this dreamer and of his dreams. Believer, child of God, in the meeting today, remember this. Whenever you stand up for God and stand up for God's word and God's truth, and whenever you speak God's truth, you too can expect mockery. You too can expect scorn from the ungodly and from this evil world. In the book of Jude, we read there about the ungodly, and it says this in verse 18 of that book. It says, there shall be mockers in the last times, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. And it speaks of those who will mock God, the messengers of God, and the word of God, and the truth of God. Child of God, don't let the mockery of the ungodly hold you back as a Christian from standing up for God's word and God's truth. No matter what the ungodly says or what the ungodly think, God's word is true. God's word is righteous. God's word will stand forever like an impregnable rock that is here for all of the years of time. Turning your Bible over to Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. And look with me, please, there at verse number 8. And look at what Isaiah says about God's word. And Christian, this is a good verse to mark in your Bible in these days when God's word is under attack as never before. It says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, But the word of our God, notice it, shall stand forever. God's word, as the little course says, stands forever true. Then when we look further here at the conspiracy of these brothers against Joseph, we can also say that in their conspiracy against Joseph, it led to mistreatment and maltreatment of Joseph. Notice how they treated their brother. Look at verse 23 and verse 24 of the chapter. It says in Genesis 37, verse 23, "And it came to pass that when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water." And verse 28, "Then there passed by Midianite merchant men, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt." Now you see their ill treatment of Joseph, their brother. They cast him into a pit. And then they strip him of his coat of many colors, and they sell him as a slave for 20 pieces of silver to the Ishmaelites. And by this action here of their brothers against Joseph, it was all fueled by hatred, by malice, by greed. And then in turn, we can say that their action had led to deceit, it led to lies, it led to untruthfulness. For later on, they pretend to their father Jacob that Joseph was killed by a wild beast. Look at verse 31 and 32 and 33 of the chapter. It says there, "And they took Joseph's coat, and they killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, 'This have we found. Now know whether it be thy son's coat or no.' And he knew it and said, 'It is my son's coat. An evil beast have devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces.'" You know the actions here of these brothers against Joseph and against their father Jacob? It really shows to you now that the depravity of the human heart. It was because of their sinful heart. It was because of their sinful nature within these brothers that they did what they did. And they treated their brother, indeed treated their father Jacob in this fashion. You see, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. O child of God, in the meeting today, may the actions here of Joseph's brothers be a warning to us all. But for the restraining grace of God, that old sinful nature within us, it is capable of terrible things. It is capable of terrible evil. Remember the words of Paul as he writes to the church at Corinth. He says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." We are to take heed. You remember the story of David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, a man after God's own heart who walked with God, who loved the Lord. Yet you read about David in 2 Samuel chapter 11. He disobeys the Lord. He neglects the service and the will of God for his life, and as a result of that, he falls into sin with Bathsheba. And he promotes deceit, drunkenness, and indeed murder to cover up his sin. And at the end of that chapter, it says these words, "But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord." He went down into Bypath Meadows. The man after God's own heart. The man who walked with God, who loved the Lord. The sweet psalmist of Israel. How important then, dear people of God, that you and I pray daily. That God would keep us from evil and from a wrong pathway, a wrong choice, and that he would deliver us from every evil pitfall and scheme and trap that the devil would lay for us as the people of God. Turn in your Bible over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6. And here we have in the early part of that chapter the Lord's Prayer and things really we are to pray about regularly and daily in our life as Christians. Notice one of the things that we are to pray about is that we be kept from evil and from sin by God's power on a day-to-day basis. Look at verse 13 there of Matthew chapter number 6. It says, "And lead us not into temptation, But deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And there the Lord was teaching his own disciples to pray, that the Lord would keep them from evil, from sin, from going down a wrong pathway, doing that which is wrong in the sight of the Lord. How important that is for you and I as Christians as we seek to live for God in this ungodly world. The Bible says that you and I as believers are to abstain from all appearance of evil. We need to pray day by day the Lord would keep us. Keep us from evil, keep us from sin. How important it is then as God's people we maintain our fellowship with the Lord and with His people, and that we abide in God's will for our lives. For Christian, if you and I step out of the will of God for our lives, there's no telling where we'll go. There's no telling what we'll do. My, the Christian out of the will of God is like a ship cut free from its anchor and drifting aimlessly out into the ocean, out into the sea. How important it is that we pray that the Lord would keep us from evil, keep us in the center of His will and in the hollow of His hand. Yes, we see here the cause of Joseph's affliction, but not only the cause of his affliction. Notice secondly with me here the consequence of Joseph's affliction. What did it lead to? Well, Joseph's affliction, it led to great hurt for Joseph himself. And we've noted that already in verse 23 and verse 24. It says, "And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that went on, was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and that pit was empty, and there was no water in it." And then in verse 28, we read of how he was sold as a slave for 20 pieces of silver to the Ishmaelites. They stripped him of his coat. He had no water. He sold as a slave. Why did this happen to Joseph? It was all because he was a young man with a righteous testimony, a young man with a godly testimony. Indeed, the hurt here of Joseph, it reminds us of what happened to Christ, our Savior here on earth. Yes, he was rejected by men. He was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Christ himself was mocked. He was scorned. He was beaten. He was tried. And then he was nailed to the cross. And this is all because of who he was and what he was, the sinless Son of God who went about doing good. The Bible speaks to you and I about the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Luke. It says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him." How terrible was the pain and the suffering and the anguish of Christ upon the cross. Christian, today in our meeting, learn from this. Do not count it a strange thing. Don't, as it were, be taken unawares when you are afflicted as a Christian. When you're hurt in some way for taking your stand for God and living a righteous, godly life. Don't be taken, as it were, by surprise if this comes your way. This is what it means, dear Christian, for you to bear the cross for Christ here on earth. Matthew Henry, speaking of this very subject, said, "Christ's followers cannot expect better treatment in the world than their master had." You remember the words of Christ to his own disciples in John 15. He says, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." And there were warned, dear people, of persecution from the ungodly, from this evil world. Yes, this affliction, it meant that Joseph, this righteous, godly young man, was hurt. Hurt physically, hurt no doubt emotionally, hurt spiritually. We can say further this morning that Joseph's affliction had also led to his own father Jacob being grieved also. And you see that from what you read in verse 34 and verse 35 of the chapter. Here you have Jacob's response to the false message that the brothers had brought to him about Joseph being killed by a wild animal. And in verse 34 it says, "And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father, notice it, wept for him. And here we see how the evil report of Joseph's brothers had robbed Jacob of joy. It caused him great hurt. It caused him much grief, much distress, and a deep sorrow of heart. Yes, the brothers had dipped Joseph's coat into the blood of an animal, and they pretended that Joseph was killed by some wild beast. Now, Jacob should not have believed this report. Why? Because there was a flaw in it. You see, the brothers, they pretend, yes, that Joseph was devoured by a wild beast. Yet they bring Joseph's coat to Jacob, and the coat is intact. The coat is still worn. It is not torn. But sadly, Jacob allows this propaganda of his evil sons to rob him of joy and to rob him of peace and to bring him down into deep sorrow and into deep grief and great hurt. And child of God, learn from this morning. Don't you let the misleading reports from the devil and the evil propaganda of this ungodly world rob you of your joy as a Christian. And rob you of the joy of your salvation. That's the devil's intent, to rob God's people of their joy and the joy of their salvation. And by the world and the devil will use false words. The world and the devil will use ill reports, Christian, to discourage you and to hinder you and your witness for Christ and to rob you and to spoil your joy as a believer. And that's the plan and the age-old scheme of the devil. Christian, I say to you today, listen not to the devil. Listen not to this evil world and to the devil's lies. Rather, Christian, listen to God. Listen to God's word for your soul. And believer, what does the Lord say to you as a Christian? He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he says in his word that godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. God promises in his word to bless his people who live for him, who live a godly life, not only in time, but in the great eternity. Think of the words of the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. This is an age when many of God's people are discouraged, they're cast down. They've lost the joy of the Lord. They've lost the joy of their salvation. The reason is they're listening to the world. They're listening to the devil. They're listening to all the lies and the evil that's found out there in the ungodly world and the ungodly media instead of listening to God and God's word and God's truth. Christian, do not let the world and the devil rob you of the joy of your salvation. Then we can say further here that Joseph's affliction was also a consequence to his own brothers. Yes, his affliction led to conviction. Indeed, it led to great guilt of conscience among his own brothers. You see, his brothers did not escape their own evil deeds. They suffered years of guilt. Indeed, years of conviction because of what they had done to Joseph on this occasion. You turn over there to Genesis chapter 42 and the verse number 21 and you will see that. Here you see Joseph's brothers in Egypt after many years and they are troubled because of their sin against their brother Joseph. Their heart, their conscience is troubled, is pricked. Verse 21, and they said one to another, we are very guilty concerning our brother. And that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. They're troubled because of their past sins against their brother Joseph. Turn over to chapter 40 or chapter 50 of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 50. And again you'll see this brought out in verses 15 to 17. Again they're troubled and they're convicted, and such is their trouble and their conviction that they beg now Joseph for forgiveness. And this is many years after their mistreatment of Joseph when they took his coat and threw him in a pit and sold him as a slave down into the Ishmaelites and on to Egypt. It says in verse 15 of Genesis 50, it says, and when Joseph's brethren saw their father was dead, Jacob was now gone, They said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which he did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall we say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. You notice there that they were troubled, they were concerned, and they were now begging, really, Joseph for forgiveness. It shows you the consequences of their own sin in their own hearts and lives. At the time, maybe they thought nothing about it, but as time went on, their deeds were in their hearts and their minds convicting them, and they were troubled in their hearts. You know, people, the Bible says, the way of the transgressor is hard. The Bible tells us, for he that soweth to the flesh shall reap corruption. The Bible says, sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Sin reaps a terrible harvest. Sin reaps a bitter harvest. God says in his word, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. You remember the prodigal son. He took his inheritance. He left home. Everything was great. And he spent his substance, the Bible tells us, on riotous living. And then it says this, and he began to be in want. The party was over. And there was heartache, there was fears, there was trouble, there was concern for that young man. Because the wages of sin was catching up with him as he turned away from his home and all the father's love in the home. Oh, men and women, young people in the meeting this morning, realize this, when you give in to sin, you play with fire. And the outcome will be hurt. It will be ruin. It will be heartache, not in you, only in your life, but in the lives of many others around you. Sin's a terrible thing. Sin brings awful destruction, awful trouble, awful anguish and bitterness of soul. Therefore, believer, whenever the devil in the world tempts you to evil or to do something that is wrong, listen not to him. Rather, listen to God. Heed God's word. And the Bible says to you and I as Christians, it says in the book of Proverbs, it says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's what we are to do when the devil comes to tempt us in a pathway that is wrong and contrary to his word, because there's awful consequences that come from sin. Sin pays a bitter harvest. The pleasures of sin are only for a season, but they reap and they bring a bitter end. Notice finally here with me this morning, dear people, the consolation of Joseph's afflictions, the consolation of his afflictions. Here in Genesis chapter 37, we find Joseph, yes, in great affliction. But you know, that's not the end. That's not the end for Joseph. As we will see, God willing, in time to come, later on, God was to use Joseph's affliction. He was to use his slavery for good, even in the preservation of his family during a time of great need and great dearth and famine. And believer, that very fact reminds you and I of the great truth of God's word and Psalm 76, verse 10, and there the psalmist is addressing the Lord. And this is what the psalmist says to the Lord. He says, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, and the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. In other words, God can turn a situation completely on its head, turn it around, and turn it for good. This is what happened here with Joseph. By God's sovereign intervention, God used what happened here to Joseph on this occasion. In this great affliction, God was to use it for great good. In the life of Joseph, the life of his family, even in the very history of the nation of Israel, in the days that were to come. Am I speaking to a believer, a Christian, in the meeting this morning, and you're facing a time of great need today? You're down in a time of great despair. Well, Christian, do not give up hope. The Bible says, with God, all things are possible, and God is able to bring light out of darkness. And my God can turn the darkest and the deepest trial that you face as a Christian around, and he can make it work for your good. Believer, what are you and I to do in the trials and the afflictions and the burdens of life? We're to cast the burden of those trials and those afflictions upon the Lord. Turn with me over to Psalm number 55. Psalm number 55. And look with me, please, there at verse number 22. Verse number 22. It says, cast thy burden. It's personal here. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Are you carrying a burden today, believer? A heavy burden, a weight? Maybe others know nothing about it. What are you to do? Cast that burden upon the Lord, dear believer, and the Lord will sustain you. He'll help you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Think of the words of William Cooper, the hymn writer. He said, ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are binged with mercy and shall break, and blessings on your head. In other words, there's blessings for God's people, even in the trials and the valleys and the clouds of life. Also here in Genesis chapter 37, yes, we read here of brothers and sons who fell into deep sin. Their sin brought them much hurt, and much hurt to Joseph, their family, indeed to others, and despair, no doubt upon them. But praise God, his word shows us that there's mercy from the Lord to cover and to blot out all our sin. And that mercy is made known unto you and I through the death of Christ upon the cross, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross, through the shedding of Christ's precious blood upon the cross of Calvary. For what does it say in 1 John 1 verse 7? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. When an ungodly man was nailing Christ to the cross, they thought that was the finish of Christ and the finish of the gospel and God's work. No. Through the death of Christ upon the cross, Christ rose. He made a way of salvation, a way of deliverance from sin for ungodly man. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Am I speaking to one today and you're not saved? And you're concerned about your sin? You're troubled about your soul and your sin? You know that if your sin is not forgiven, it will take you down to hell. Friend, if you come by faith to Christ, just as you are, as a repentant sinner, and you ask him to save you, Christ will save you. He will not turn you away. He'll pardon, he'll forgive, he'll blot out all your sins. He'll bring you into his family, make you a child of God. He'll take you one day to heaven. Such is the mercy of God in Christ for our salvation. Maybe I'm speaking to a backslider this morning. You're concerned about what sin is doing in your life and the walk that you're walking away from the Lord. You know you've lost out with God. Well, backslider, there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. Come back to the Lord just as you are. Confess your sin. Ask for his restoring grace. Praise God, the Lord will restore you. He will reuse you. And he will give unto you again the joy of your salvation. Think of how David prayed in Psalm 51. He prayed, create within me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing together the paraphrase number 48. Paraphrase number 48. The page 162 of your hymn book, Wonderful Words of Truth for the Christian, that we're safe in the hands of the Lord, not only for time, but for all of eternity. It says, let Christian faith and hope dispel the fears of guilt and woe. The Lord Almighty is our friend, and who can prove a foe? We'll stand as we sing, singing it through just in its entirety. There's wonderful words of encouragement here for the believer. You'll recognize the tune and singing it out with all of our hearts. Stand as we sing. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today as Thy people for the safety and the security that we have in Christ, one who has loved us with an everlasting love, one who has promised to keep His people unto life eternal. And Thy word tells us that there's none that can lay any charge to God's elect. We thank Thee for pardoning grace, for justifying grace through the blood of the Lamb, and that there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Help us, Lord, in the trials and the battles and the afflictions of life that come our way to rest upon Thee, to cast every burden and care upon the Lord, Third One who is able to make every crooked place straight and every rough place smooth. Answer prayer to this end for any in the gathering today who know not the Lord as Savior, still under wrath and condemnation for their sins. Speak on to their hearts and know that today they would choose Christ and live and be saved for time and all of eternity. Part us with Your fear and favor. Take us to our homes and safety. Return us again in Thy will this evening hour, and bless even with salvation in this house today. We ask it all for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen.